I'm Marco Werman, and it's The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. We know of at least three meetings between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump at the G20, but now we're hearing a rumor about a fourth meeting.
Maybe they went to a toilet together. That was a fourth time.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov there on NBC having a bit of fun at our expense. I'm going to have a hard time getting that image out of my mind. With me in the studio is the Washington Post Moscow bureau chief David Filipov. I'm slowly getting acquainted with the Lavrov style. That comment now seems to be typical of how he's dealing with the U.S. under Trump, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's a real laugh riot. Back in April, they had a sort of joke answering machine where it's like, if you want interference in your election, dial 3. You know, that's kind of his thing, this deadpan kind of, you know, you're all out of your minds, you're all crazy, what's wrong with you? That's been their game.
Are we? I mean, does it seem to you that Americans are obsessed about the number of times Putin and Trump have met?
We have subjected the current president to an incredible amount of scrutiny because of the seeming favorable attitude towards Putin, because of these conflicts of interest that come out to the surface and are so blatant in some cases. So naturally, we in the United States are looking at all that very closely. From the Russian point of view, they're looking at the substance of the actual meeting. Some lawyers got together with some guys and talked about some stuff. What's your problem? And when you say that the Russians, well, our problem is lying about it, covering it up, potentially hiding something. What are you hiding? The act of hiding in the United States can be considered a crime. And the Russians look at you like, what is wrong with you?
Your Russian is strong enough, David, that you're grabbed as a pundit for Russian TV. When was the last time you were a guest on Russian TV and what were you talking about?
All right. I did it in March the last time. It's kind of a bad deal because you know how we have heavily favored liberal talk shows, conservative talk shows, Hannity, Maddow. You know, going on one of those when you're on the other side is a little bit of a suicide mission because you know you're going to get trashed. When you go on the Russian show, you're the token Westerner. You're the American. And everybody who's ever had a gripe about America can sound off on you like you represent the last five administrations of the United States. You know, they got a live one there, Washington Post, let's go. And I mean, I've had people yell at me about how Americans are fat. And I'm like, I'm 5'9", 160, baby. my body fat percentage is less than Pablo Sandoval's. You can't tell me that. But, you know, when you go on there, they are looking for anything that you can say that sort of starts to explain why Americans are so afraid of them. But when you're in the middle of the conversation, they jump down your throat. Oh, so you think it's that, eh? Oh, so you think the Soviet Union was bad, eh? You know, and you really kind of, you're up against it from the very beginning. You're backpedaling, kind of like you feel like Chris Matthews or Hannity or Tucker Carlson is chasing you down and there's nowhere to go. And your language isn't as precise as theirs.
You're American, David, but you've kind of had this relationship with Russia, been there and back since 1994. And now you see a lot of both places with the Washington Post. In the last several months since Trump took over the White House, what's your impression of how Americans view Russia?
By the way, I started going there in 1983. That's how old I am.
Correction.
you know, I remember going into a bar. 2012. Somebody said, what are you doing? You know, I was in Russia. Oh, yeah, Russia. Wow. Beers, vodka. Now, if you go into the same bar and say, so what do you think of Russia? Either the person will say, they got to stop meddling in our elections. It's terrible. And Trump's in there with it. Or you get this. You get, you know, the 60 million people who voted for Trump will say, the establishment's making a big deal out of it. They're just nitpicking. Hillary did far worse. So like that Russia word, without really any kind of deep sense of what Russia is or what it's about or even why it would be meddling, it already sets off this conversation and this kind of like already preformed positions that people have. Because depending on which side of the spectrum you're on, you see Russia either as a reason why Trump is dirty or a reason why the establishment won't let Trump work.
After the Berlin Wall came down about 25 years ago, all these journalists started going to Russia. Radio reports wouldn't stop playing the anthem, the international. Then Russia kind of fell to the back pages. And the focus fell on Iraq and the Arab world. How do Russians feel now that they're back on the front pages? Is it unwanted publicity or a sign that Putin has taken them onto the world stage?
See, I can't answer any of your questions without telling a story. I have a guy who comes and fixes my Mac. And we joke about
in Moscow.
Yeah, in Moscow. And he's just a guy. He's a computer guy, just like anybody, right? And I've got to give him the password to get into the thing so he can be. And he's like, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll hack you. And I'm like, yeah, maybe you will. And he sort of stopped and he said, we're all amazed that you think we're so powerful. On the one sense, it's kind of cool that everybody thinks that Russians are omnipowerful. On the other sense, it's kind of terrible that everybody thinks that Russians are so powerful and then they want to use it for, like, I can't just be a computer guy. I have to be a Russian hacker, in your view. So there is this sense, yeah, we're back and we're bad and you can't stop us. But also the sense, why doesn't the world treat us like a regular country? And remember, Russians now have credit cards, they have jobs, they can travel overseas. And so the sense of why don't you accept us as just other people is something that's overwhelming, even if the Russian recognizes, yeah, we have a corrupt government. Yeah, there's one guy in power and we can't vote him out. But so what? Why do you think that we're hacking you? You know?
David Filipov with The Washington Post, their Moscow bureau chief. Thanks very much and enjoy your trip back.
Thank you.